Okay, we're going to start here at the bottom of Yudalet Amud Bet. Here the Gemara is going to discuss the portion of the Mishnah that deals with the expansion of the Azara in Yushalayim. In the Mishnah lays out a procedure by which one can expand the Azarot to the Kshav, the Azarot, and the Kshav Yushalayim. And the Gemara has a very basic question about this, which is, Minahane Mile, where do we know this from? How do we know that when it comes to expanding the Azara, expanding Yushalayim, that you must do this whole procedure? Samar Rav Simi Bar Chiya Damar Kro. Kachol asher ani mare otcha et tavnit ha-mishkan ve tavnit kol kelav v'chein tasu l'dorot. So when it comes to the building of the Mishkan, there's a certain procedure that's used when it comes to putting the Mishkan into service, as well as the kelim of the Mishkan into service. And that, about that it said, v'chein tasu l'dorot, that you must do this permanently. And this is the procedure one uses when they want to, again, put the Mishkan into service. Well, what is that procedure? That Rashi lays out for us at the top of Ted Vamamad Aleph. It says, well, in the time of the Mishkan, we have Bimei Moshe, that he was, Moshe himself was a Melech, Vinaviv, Vechav, and his brother, Achiv, Kohen Gadol, and his brother is a Kohen Gadol, Vilrim Vitumim, and the Urim Tumim were present, and Vishivim Zakenim. You have the 70s Kenim. So since all these items are present when it came to the consecration of the Mishkan, and about that consecration of the Mishkan, it says, V'chein tasu l'dorot, that any other time you want to make a consecration of the Mishkan or expansion of the Kedusha of the Azarot, one must repeat what was done at the time of the Mishkan. So the Maharshi tells us what was there. You have a Melech, you have a Navi, you have a Kohen Gadol, you have the Urim Tumim, and you have the Shimim Zakenim. So now, Meitiv Rava. Rava says, is this really true? Because we have, by the Kelim, when it comes to the Kli Sharet in the Mikdash, it says, Kol HaKelim Sheasa Moshe Mishichatan Mikadashtan. Now when it comes to the Kelim that were used in the Mishkan, and were put into service in the time of Moshe, the way that they were brought into service, the way that the Kli Sharet were made Kadosh, was through Mishicha, was through the anointing by the Shem and HaMishcha. On the other hand, Mikan Veilech, when that poem went forward, Avotan Mechan Chatan, using them will put them into service. Again, putting them into service is what makes them Kadosh. So it's their usage that makes them Kadosh. Well, over here we have a disparity. The time of Moshe Rabbein, the way that you made Kli Sharet Kadosh, was by actually having them being anointed by the Shem and Mishcha. Yet, any time after that, or today, if you wanted to put the Kli Sharet into service, you would not put the Shem and Mishcha on them. Rather, you would simply use them. And using them would make them Kadosh. So this basically fails the test of what we were suggesting before, which is that we just suggested that when it came to whatever was done in the Mishkan, V'chein tasu l'dorot, one does permanently. Over here, we have something that was done in the Mishkan to create the Kedusha, to put something into service, and yet that is not what is done l'dorot. That's not what's done afterwards. S'mamai. Why not? V'neim v'chein tasu l'dorot. Why don't we say v'chein tasu l'dorot by the Kelim? Where it says, Shiny Hatam, the Kelim, the Klei Sharet, are actually different or unique. Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, by the Klei Sharet, Vayim Shechem, Vayikadesh Otam, that they were anointed, and then they were made Kadosh. Otam, the word Yotam is a mute. Otam v'mishicha, v'lo l'dorot v'mishicha. They, meaning those that at the time of the Mishkan were put into service through Mishicha, v'lo l'dorot, but that's not true if the future, or in the future, one does not have Mishicha to be put them into service. Where it says, okay, why don't you suggest, that the Otam is exclusive to the point where that Mishicha, the anointing through the Shem and Mishcha, is only applicable to those Kelim at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, I could read the Otam in a different way, exclusive in a different way, which is, why don't we say, or why don't we suggest over here, Ema, Otam b'mishicha l'dorot, o b'mishicha, o b'avoda. True, that at the time of Moshe, Otam, they require Mishicha in order to be put into service. But when it comes to the future, in the future when you want to put Kli Sharet into service, you'll have a choice. You could choose between Mishicha, the anointing, o b'avoda, or usage. Either one of those would be sufficient to make them Kadosh. And that would be what the Otam, the mute of Otam, says. By the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was only one way to put them in service. That was Mishicha. In the future, you could use one of two ways to put them into service. So Amar Rav Papa says that won't work, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Asher Yishartuvam Bakodesh. So when it comes to the Klei Sharet, it says that you will use them Bakodesh, in the Kodesh, but also we need to means to make them Kadosh, Tlana Katu B'Sherut. When I want to talk about the Klei HaKodesh, or the Klei Sheret, it's talking about a case of Sher Yishartubam, that when they are used, what makes them Kadosh? Usage. They must be used in order to become Kadosh. So now we have a specific pasuk saying that usage is what puts the Klei Sheret into service and makes them Kadosh. So Mar says, now, well, now that you know that the only way to make the Kelim Kadosh is Asher Yishartu, to use them, meaning to put them into service, then Otam Lomali, what do I need the miyut of Otam to tell me that only in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu does Mishicha work? Not in the future, but I have a specific pasuk which tells me, or tells me what the demand is of putting Klei Sheret or into service or making them Kadosh, and that's usage. So why do I need both psukim? The Gemara says, I know, Otam Lamali, what do I need that pasuk for? Gemara says, Ilo katov rachman Otam, had we not had the mute of Otam, Havamina, then I would have thought, Hanihu de Mishicha. Then at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was only one requirement to put them into service. That was Mishicha, anointing them with Shem and Mishicha. Lidorot, in the future, both things are needed, meaning that you both need the Mishicha and the Avodah. And when it comes to the future, you need the Mishicha, just like you needed at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu because of Chen Tasula Adorot, Ubavadar, and then you need the Sherut, put into service because of the Pasuk HaSher Yishartubam, that you put them into service is what makes them Kadosh. Dachtav, Katav, B'Chen Tasu, right? So therefore it says Chen Tasu means that it applies equally to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu to our time, which means that you need to have Mishicha. Along comes the Pasuk and says, Mi'et Rachman Otam. Pasuk comes and says the miut. Otam b'mishicha v'lo l'dorot mishicha. The only thing that gets, or the only thing that requires mishicha, were the Klei Sheret at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. At that point in time, they do not require mishicha. And that leaves us only one thing then. If you can't use the mishicha from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, or it's not necessary to use the mishicha, then there's only one way to put them into service, and that is through sherut, through the usage of those kelim. And the usage of those kelim is what mechana chatan, that is what puts them into service, and that's what makes them kadosh. So the conclusion of this part of the Gemara is, number one, kelim are an exception. Kelim are an exception because we have specific psukim that tell us what to do with the kelim. They tell us that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Klei Sheret were put into service through Mishicha, through anointing through the Shem and Mishcha. Today, if you wanted to put Klei Sheret into, make them kadosh, put them into service, you simply use them. Their usage is what makes them kadosh. Ah, what about what we started with, V'chein Tasu L'Dorot? When it comes to the consecration of the Mishkan or of Yerushalayim, that we look back to the ultimate or paradigmatic form of Kedusha that was established in Klal Yisrael, that of the Mishkan, and that becomes our standard for what we do in the future. What about that, V'chein Tasu L'Dorot? The answer is, it just doesn't apply by Kelim. Kelim are an exceptional case. If it wasn't aside from Kelim, yes, V'chein Tasu L'Dorot, you have to do a similar thing that we would have done in the time of Moshe, has to be done now. And that's how we know the part, at least a lot of the procedure that we're going to, or that the Mishnah mentions in order to consecrate the Azarah, expand the Azarah, or to expand or consecrate Yerushalayim, that comes from that original time by the time of the Mishkan. Now that's true for most of the items there included in the list, but that's not true for all of the items. And that's because, yes, that makes sense when you read about when you're Tosefet Azara, Shein Mosefim La'ir, Ala Azarot El Melech, Navi, Urim V'Tumim, Sanhedrin Shel Shivim Ve'Echad. So that's all from the time of the Mishkan. But then it says, U'B'Shtei Todot U'B'Shir. So where did the Shtei Todot and the Shir, where does that come from? So that's the next part of the Gemara is going to discuss, which is Tana, Shtei Todot Shamru Bilachman Velo Bivsaran. We're talking about the two Todot that help you to expand or create the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Azarot. We're talking about not the Zevach, the Korban Todah, but rather the Chalot that come with the Korban Todah. How do we know that? Or where do we know this from? So, Rav Chista, Damakra, we have a pasuk in Nehemiah. Over there, the pasuk in Nehemiah, in Perak Yud Bet in Nehemiah, is describing the dedication of Yerushalayim at the time of the second Bayit. And over there it reads and says, Uvechanukat Chumat Yerushalayim Bikshu Alevim. So they were looking around, they were starting to do the Chanukat Chuma of Yerushalayim. And in that process, it says in Nehemiah, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vale et Sarei Yehuda Mi'al HaChuma, Va'amida Shtei Todot Gidolot, V'Taluchot. I put together these two big todot, the taluchot the yamin, and they're walking along the right side, mi'alo choma, above the choma, the shar hashpot, towards the gate of the dung gate. So now we see that there are these shteg todot gidolot that are used in the consecration of Yerushalayim in the time of Nehemiah. So the Gemara wants to know about these shteg todot gidolot. What does the word gadol or gdolot mean in this instance? So Amar Chisda, Amar Krav, Amid the shteg todot gidolot aluchot yamin mi'ala chuma. My gidolot. What does it mean? Big. Ilema min gadol mamash. If you want to suggest that shteg todot gidolot mean bring from the biggest animal that you could bring a todah, we know that the korbanot come in three forms. There's the kivis, which is the smallest animal, then there's the ayon, then there's the par. So the largest animal you could bring would be a par. So maybe shteg todot gdolot means bring the todot from the par. The Gemara says, if that's the case, name a parim. Why are you going to say the word gdolot? Just explicitly say that you want the shteg todot parim. Ela gdolot biminan. So the Gemara says, no, I'll give you a different suggestion about what gedolot means. Gedolot means the biggest in their type, category, or species. Meaning that if you bring a kevis, make sure that you bring the largest kevis, the best kevis. If you're going to bring an aisle, bring the best or biggest aisle. If you're going to bring a par, bring the best or biggest par. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. I don't think that can be the explanation. Why? Mi ika chashivuta kamei shemaya. Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu really interested in the size of the animal that you bring? Does it really matter to a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Batanya with a brayto nemar bo ulat behema ishei reach nichoach. It says by an animal. This is all in the beginning of Parshat Vayikra and Sefer Vayikra as well. The beginning of the parsha talks about there's a parsha of ulat behema, then there's the parsha of ulat haof, and then there's a parsha of the mincha. All three of those parshiot, they conclude with the same phrase that Hashem says. That says, by olat behema ishei reach nichoach l'Hashem, b'olat ha'of, when it comes to an offering that's brought from a bird, not from an animal, it says ishei reach nichoach l'Hashem. And mincha, when it comes to the flower offering, it says ishei reach nichoach l'Hashem. Why does it say the same phrase at the end of each of these items? Lamed she'echad amarbe ve'echad amamit uvad shichavein et libo l'aviv shebashamayim. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant how big quantitatively the korban you bring is, or how expensive the korban is, whether it's cheap, expensive, large, or small. None of that is relevant to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does Hashem want? He wants the kivun aleiv. He wants a person to intend to do the right thing and to be focused on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you do the right thing and focus on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the quantity is irrelevant. So if that's the case, then it can't be that along comes Nehemiah and says, oh, you got to bring from the biggest of whatever category of species you are, bring as a korban, because the Torah doesn't put a priority on that item. Now Tosus asks the question, which is, wait a minute, we know in many places that there is a demand that a person bring the best or biggest korban. We've seen it, but you know, we see it by Kainan Hevel. We see it actually as a requirement in Yom HaKippurim, which is, Ta'afagav damar b'yom ha'achad ha'myuchad shbedro. When you say ha'achad, we say bring the best of the flock. So again, you see this requirement or this necessity to bring from the best possible to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it would make sense that you want to bring the nicest or the best to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, the Tosafot says, Ein Hachanami, that we do have such a requirement, or we know of such a requirement. Nevertheless, Mimokom Makom Lo Yalo Lehit Pa'er Bakach, the Chemia shouldn't have been showing off about this item, Kevish Mitzvah Bazek Mo Bazek Mitzkaven L'Shem Shamayim. True, that it is nice and great to bring the larger or the better of the Korban. Nevertheless, since that's not a requirement, it's not a requirement because it doesn't matter size in the end. If Yovaji Kavanli Bula Shamayim, it'd be equally good to bring something smaller. If that's all you could afford, if that's all you could bring, then it would be great as long as you're Mechavin Libo, as long as you have the proper intent when you're bringing it. So if that's the case, Nehemiah shouldn't have made a big deal about the fact that he brought Todot Gedolot. Because Gadol is not something that we put emphasis on. Since we don't put emphasis on it, it shouldn't be something that Nehemiah comes along and shows off about, I brought the two Todot Gedolot. So that's the case. The Gemara says, okay, we can't be talking about the Zevach itself, because the word Gedolot is not, again, the largest species, which would be the par. It's not within the category, the largest one you could bring, because we just saw that that's not something that the Torah puts emphasis on. So now, what is it talking about? Ela gdola shibit todah. You bring the biggest portion of the todah. Umayinihu, what's the largest portion of the Tuda? That comes from the Mishnah, which is Chametz, the leavened part of the Tuda. Now the Tuda comes with 40 chalot, or 40 loaves along with it. Those 40 loaves are actually 4 sets of 10. 10 of them are actually made from chametz, from leavened bread, and the other 30 are matzot that are together. Now, how do we make them? Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. Hatoda aita ba'a min ha-chamesh sa'im Yerushalmiot shein sheish midbariot. The toda, the 40 lachmaniot that were brought along with the toda, when they are brought, they are made up of the flour that is used is 5 sa'ah of Yerushalayim, which is the equivalent of 6 sa'ah from the Midbar. And that's because in Yerushalayim they were mosif shtut. They added on 1/6, which is Midbar, from the outside, which means 1/5. They increased the size of the measures in of Yerushalayim by 1/5. When you do that, that tells you that what was once 6 sa'ah now is encompassed or incorporated in 5 sa'ah. The 5 sa'ah of Yerushalayim equals the 6 sa'ah of the Midbar. When it comes to the 6 sa'ah of the Midbar, we know Shehen Shtei Efot. That's the equivalent of 2 Efah. Why? Because Efah is equal to Shlosh Sa'im. If the Efah is equal to Shlosh Sa'im, and it requires 6 sa'ah to make the Chalot of the Karban Todah, then you require 2 Efot. And we know about an Efah, each Efah is equal to 10 Yisaron, because we saw that the Yisaron is a Sirita Efah. That means that a full Efah would actually be 10 Yisaron. So if I'm taking 2 Efot, that means I really have Esrim Yisaron, 20 Yisaron. Now the Mishnah describes, when I have those 20 Yisaron, how do I subdivide them amongst those 40 Chalot that are going to be brought with the Todah? Asara l'chametz, v'asara l'chametzah. One Efah goes towards the Chametz, and one Efah goes towards the Matzot. Umatzah, the matzah itself is broken down into 3 categories, shlosha minim, chalot, rikikim, or vucha. You have 3 categories of matzah. So what turns out from this is that you actually take 10 yisaron, and you allocate that for the 10 loaves of chametz that are brought along with the korban todah. On the other hand, you take another 10 yisaron, and from that you allocate that to the matzah. But the matzah is actually broken down to 3 categories, and each category brings 10 loaves from that category. So that means you actually have 30 loaves being made out of those 10 yisaron, as opposed to the chametz, which is 10 loaves made from 10 yisaron. Over here, you got 30 loaves made from 10 yisaron. That means that each loaf of chametz is really 3 times the size of any one of the loaves of the matzah, because it has 3 times the amount that we are allocating towards it versus the amount allocated towards the matzot. So from that, we say something, when you're talking about the gedolah shebet todah, the biggest portion of the todah, the biggest portion of the todah is the chametz, the chalot of the chametz, which are 3 times the size of the matzot. So now that we know that, now we know what Nehemiah was using in order to expand Yerushalayim, or here really is to consecrate Yerushalayim. He was using a todah, but todot gdolot doesn't literally mean the korban todah, but rather the chalot of the todah, and not just any chalot, but the chametz chalot of the todah, and where they're going to be used towards being mikadesh Yerushalayim. Now, the Gemara says, or there's a statement now by Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama says, "Eina azara mitkadeshet ela b'sheirei mincha." We just said over here that you require the todot or the chametz of the todot in order to be mekadesh the walls of Yerushalayim, but that's only true of Yerushalayim. That's not true of consecrating the azara or expanding the azara. There, you would not use a todah or the chalot of the todot to do it, but rather you would use a sheirei mincha. A mincha is something that is kodesh kodoshim and can be eaten by the, its leftovers can be, after the kometz is placed on his beach, the leftovers can be eaten by the kohanim, but it must be eaten within the confines of something that is kodesh kodoshim. What is kodesh kodoshim when it comes to the karbanot? It means it must be eaten within the walls of the azara. As opposed to the things that are kodeshim and kalim, kodeshim kalim can be eaten b'chol Yerushalayim, the whole part of Yerushalayim, just like the karban todah can be eaten throughout Yerushalayim and its chalot. So what is Rami Bar Chama coming to teach us about this item? He's saying, well, my time, what's this reasoning between Rami Bar Chama's position? Biki Yerushalayim is just like Yerushalayim. My Yerushalayim davar nechelba, just like Yerushalayim, you use something that's eaten in it in order to be mekadeshit. af azara. So too, when it comes to the azarot, we use davar nechalba mekadesha, something that's eaten in the azarot. That's what we use to be mekadesh it. Mara says, wait a minute. Based on that formulation, atulach me toda bazara mi lo mitachle, the kohenim want to eat the karban toda or the chalot of the toda in the azara. Sure, they could go ahead and do that. So why are you saying that it has to specifically do with where you can eat the item? Well, if you can eat the item in the Azara, and you can eat outside the Azara, why can't you use the Chalot of the Todah to do this expansion or this being consecrating of the Azarot? Well, it must be that that's not the reasoning, that where you eat it is not the reasoning, but rather, Ella, Ki Yerushalayim, Simat Yerushalayim, Ma Yerushalayim Davar HaNechal Ba VeYotza Mimenu Nifsal. Just like by Yerushalayim, something that is eaten within the confines of the walls of Yerushalayim, and if it leaves the walls of Yerushalayim, Nifsal becomes Pasul because it went out of its designated area, Af Azara. So too, when it comes to the consecration of the Azara, we're going to use something, Davar Nechalba, something eaten in the Azarot, VeYotza Mimenu Nifsal, and something that leaves the Azarot would become Pasul. Well, what's that case? That's a shayre mincha. That's something like a mincha, something that's kodesh kodeshim that must be remain within the confines of the azara. That item can be used to consecrate the azara. So that's what Rami Bar Chama suggests, is that the shayre mincha are used to expand the azarot or consecrate the azarot, just like the todah is used, or the chalot of the todah are used to expand or consecrate the walls of Yerushalayim. Mara says, okay, well, if you want to make such a comparison to just like the way it's done by Yerushalayim, it should be done by the Azarot. So, ima lahalan chametz, avkan chametz. Just like by the consecration of Yerushalayim, we use chametz. So, to here, by the consecration of the Azarot, we should also use chametz. The Gemara says, v'tisbiro. Well, that's not logical. You really cannot use chametz. It would be nice, but we can't use chametz. Why not? Because minchat chametz mi'ika. There is no such concept as a mincha that comes from chametz. Meaning that when it comes to the korban todah, that has 10 chalot that come chametz. Chametz is very unique. It only shows up twice in the Mikdash. When one time is by the korban todah, the other time is by Shavuot. By Shavuot, that there is the shtei lechem that come with the kvasim, that comes from chametz. But other than that, we really don't find chametz at all in the Mikdash. So that's why, even though you would want to make such a comparison, just like chametz is used to consecrate the wall of Yerushalayim or expand Yerushalayim, so too we should use chametz for the Azarot. Problem is, it's just impossible. There is no chametz that can be used. A mincha can never be brought as chametz. A mincha is never chametz. Ah, what do you want to say there? Svechi tema, the machmitz mehul shirayim. It's true that the what goes on the mizbeach cannot be chametz, but nevertheless, what is left for the Kohanim afterwards, they're allowed to eat the Sharia Mincha after the Kometz goes on the Mizbeach. Whatever's left over can be eaten by the Kohanim. Maybe the portion that's eaten by the Kohanim, that could be made into Chametz. And that is limited to being eaten within the confines of the Azara. And that would be a great thing for us to use to consecrate the walls of the Azara. Mar says, so if you want to say, Tehmet the Machmetz Lul Shiraim, Umekadesh Behu, and that is what they use to make the Kedusha of the Azarot, Vaktiv. Lo tafeh chametz chelkam. It says that you're not allowed to bake their portion into chametz. V'amarish lakish afilu chelkam lo tafeh chametz. That even when it comes to the portion of the Kohanim, that also may not become chametz. Meaning that the restriction against chametz is not simply for the portion that ends up on the Mizbeach, it's also the portion eaten by the Kohanim. If that's the case, we have no case of chametz or something that could be chametz that could be used to consecrate the Azara. It says, Amlam lo efshar. Why is it impossible? Why? Because you could do it. Mekadesh b'shtei alechem b'atzeret. Ah, we can use, as I said before, that the only two times that we have chametz in the Mikdash is one for the Karban Todah, and the other time is for the shtei alechem that are brought on Shavuot. So that's exactly what the Gemara says, or the Gemara is asking. Why don't we use those shtei alechem from atzeret, from Shavuot? Where it says, Mishum Delefshar. It won't work because it's impossible to get a case where you have chametz from the Shtei Alechem that you can use to consecrate the Azarot. Why? Heichin Avid, what are you going to do? Nivne Emet Mahol. What do you want to do? You want to finish to complete the building of the Mikdash on Erev Shavuot? Bekadesh it at this time, me etmo, from the time before. Where it says, Shtei Alechem, Bishchitat Kvasim Hu Dekodshei. Wait a minute, you want to do everything on Erev Shavuot? Erev Shavuot, the Shtei Alechem are not consecrated or are not kadosh yet with Kedushat HaGuf. And that is because even though the Shtei Alechem are purchased with the monies of the Trumat HaLishka, which makes them kadosh, that Kedushah is only Kedushat Damim. That's the monetary value that is kadosh, but not the object itself is not inherently kadosh until, right, you actually shecht the two kvasim that are going to be brought on Atzeret. Well, guess what? When do you shecht the two kvasim that are going to be brought on Shavuot? You do that on Shavuot itself. That means that the Shtei Alechem only become kadosh on Shavuot. So if you finish the building of the Mikdash before Shavuot, right, you're not going to have the Shtei Alechem around, because the Shtei Alechem are not kadosh until the time of Atzeret itself and time the shechting of the kvasim. So Gemara says, all right, I have a different suggestion. I'll tell you what we could do here. Nivnei metmo. Let him finish building the Mikdash on Erev Shavuot. And let him make it kadosh, consecrate the Azeroth on Shavuot. And that will be taken care of. You have the Shtei Alechem on Shavuot, and we use those to consecrate the walls of the Azera. It says, Be'inan Kiddush B'Shata Binyan. That Kiddush, the consecration of the Azeroth, has to take place simultaneous with the completion of the Binyan. So if you finish it on Erev Shavuot, you must be Mekadesh it on Erev Shavuot. And if you're going to finish it, if you really want to consecrate it with the Shtei Alechem on Shavuot, then you would be required to finish the Mikdash on Shavuot itself. So that's what Gemara asks now. Wait a minute. Nivnei b'Yom Tov. Let him finish it on Yom Tov. V'nekadshei b'Yom Tov. Let him mekadesh it on Yom Tov on Shavuot itself. That doesn't work. Why? Because ain't binyan bigger Mikdash doche Yom Tov. Because the building Mikdash is not doche Yom Tov. Why is that? Because we have the pasuk that says, "Et shabtotai tishmoru umikdashi tirou ani Hashem kuchem chayavim bichpodi." Everyone's chayav in the kvod of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, atem vamikdash. That's both you and the mikdash, and therefore you both must keep Shabbos. Now Shabbos here in the Torah, the term Shabbos is used both for Shabbos breishit, but also for when it comes to moadim. So when it comes to the Moedim or to Shavuot, it's also referred to as a Shabbat. And therefore, there's no Binyan Beit HaMikdash. The Binyan Beit HaMikdash is not Doche Et HaShabbat, is not Doche Et HaYom Tov. But that's the case. You can't come up a case with Shtei Alechem where you can have it on Yom Tov. So Gemara says, okay, I have a better idea. Nishvika Levatar Achi, that they should leave over a portion of the completion of the Mikdash until Motzei Yom Tov v'nivnei, and Motzei Yom Tov let him finish that up v'nekadshei, and then he will make it kadosh, or that we mekadesh the Azeroth at that point in time. Now we came up with the perfect solution. You're not building the Mikdash on Shavuot because you finished 99.9% on Erev Shavuot. The last piece that you need to do, you're going to do that on Motzei Shavuot, Ayidei Chametz. It's the Shtei Alechem on Motzei Shavuot, when there's just a small portion left to do. Gemara says, Ifsilei Belina. So the Gemara says, well, if you do that, it's going to be possible Belina for leaving it overnight. So Gemara says, okay, I can solve that problem. Nivnei Mimale Yom, huh? Let him finish it, right, on Erev Yom Tov. V'nishar Bei Porta, and leave a small amount over. The Ad Kodesh Yoma, the Altar, from the time period that you were Mekadesh, the Yom, the Altar, immediately afterwards, Nigmere, you'll finish it in Mekadesh. So before, when we suggest doing it on Motzei Yom Tov, talk about doing it basically on the day after Shavuot. Well, the day after Shavuot already, the Korban's already Pasul Belina, because it's not allowed to wait more than a day and a night. So when it says, okay, well, why do you have to wait all the way till the next morning? Do it that night. Motzei Yom Tov itself, the night after Yom Tov, go ahead and complete the building of the Mikdash, and on that night, consecrate it with the Shtei Alechem. Gemara says that doesn't work. Why? Ain't binyan Beit HaMikdash b'layla. You can't build the Beit HaMikdash at night. Damar Abayi Minayi Shein Binyan Beit HaMikdash b'layla. How do we know that you cannot build the Mishkan, build the Mikdash at night? Shenemar, uveyom hakim et ha-mishkan. Biyom hakimo b'layla ein hakimo. You can put it into service, you can establish it, you can consecrate it during the daytime, but b'layla ein hakimo, you can't do that at night. Hilkach lo efshar. So because of that, it makes it impossible to have a case in which you could have chametz be mikadesh the walls of the Azeroth, because there is no chametz available to do that kiddush with. You must use something that is limited by the walls of the Azeroth, things that can only be consumed within the walls of the Azeroth. And you wanted to use chametz. Chametz doesn't exist. There's no item within that's limited to the walls of the Azeroth that is chametz that can be used in this instance. The only thing that we had, which was Kodshei Kodashim, that was limited by the walls of Israel, was the Shtei Alechem. But the Shtei Alechem, we just went through, make it an impossible situation in which you can have chametz to do this procedure, because they only become Kadosh b'kedushat haguf on Shavuot itself, the shechtin, the kvasim. And number two is, you have to finish the Beit HaMikdash the time that you want to make it kadosh. So you can't finish on Yom Tov. You can't finish on Erev Yom Tov, because you need the completion of the Mikdash the same time that you're going to do the kiddush of the Makom of the Azarot. And you can't do it on Motzei. When it comes to after Shavuot, you can't do it, because either be pasul b'lina, if you wait too long, then the shtei lechem are pasul b'lina. If you do exactly that night, then there's not a problem with psulina, but there's a problem that you're not allowed to build the mikdash on Motzei Yom Tov. You're not allowed to build it at night. Since you can't build it at night, therefore you can't make that the time period of completion for the Azarot. So since it's impossible, based on that, we say that you have to use something, which is a sharia mincha, even though they're not going to be chametz, like the chalot of the Karban Todah, but we use in each of the spaces, we use something that's limited by the space it's consecrating. So by the Todah, it'll be used to consecrate the walls of Yishalayim, because it's limited by the walls of Yishalayim where it can be eaten. And so too with the Azarot. When it comes to Kiddush Azarot, we use the Sharia Mincha, which are limited by the walls of Azarot where it can be consumed. And therefore, they will be used towards the consecration of that area that is called the Azarot. Now, there is an interesting issue that arises in our Gemara over here. And actually, it turns out to be definitely is a machloket rishonim, but it might even be machloket between the sugyot. And that is that our Gemara over here has an underlying premise, or believes that you cannot build the Beit HaMikdash when it comes to nighttime, and you can't build it on a Yom Tov itself. And is that really true? There is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is discussing in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai was mitaken that after the Zman, the Chorban HaBayit, that Yom HaNeif Kulo Asura, when it comes to the day of the Karban HaOmer, that's the 16th of Nitzan, and only until the completion of that day is when it becomes Mutar. So the Gemara wants to know, why is that? I mean, Meikar Adin, it should be Heir HaMizrach, that as soon as the sun rises on the eastern side, as soon as the day begins, that should be enough to free people to eat from the Tevuah HaChadasha. So why is it that Rabbi Yochanan requires you to wait the entire day? He says, because we're afraid that if today one would allow them to do this, then they'll think in the following year, or in subsequent years, that is the same as the case today, that you will always be able to go and eat chadash immediately after the sun rises. And that's not necessarily true, because if the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, depending when it's rebuilt, there might be some delay in bringing of the Omer, or in general, there might be some delay, and therefore it won't be mutar right away. So Rabbi Yochanan Mezakai says, let's be on the safe side. Let us teach everybody that it's asur the entire day. And therefore, if the Beis HaMikdash is built, rebuilt, therefore we say, go ahead and protect against this eventuality, and make it that the whole day is asur. Now, Gemara wants to know, where's the case here? How do you have a case that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built in such a manner where you won't know this information, and therefore there might be a takala that comes out of it? So the Gemara says over here, afraid that if you allow him to eat it, Be'er Mizrach, Achshav, Naminecho, so the following year, when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, he'll do the same thing. V'lo yodadi, d'eshtakad lo ava omer. They didn't realize that the previous year, there was no Karban HaOmer, and therefore, Heir Mizrach itir. The beginning of the day is what made the Chadash mutar. Hashto the Ika Omer, now that the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt and we have a Karban HaOmer that you need to bring Omer Matir, then it's the Karban HaOmer that's Matir the Chadash. So Gemara says, Mivne Imat, when is this Beit HaMikdash going to be rebuilt that you don't have this information? Ilim Divne Bishitzar, if you know that it was rebuilt on the 16th of Nisan itself, Harihir Mizrach, Hetir. That if it's built on the 16th, then when the sun rose on the 16th, it was Matir the Chadash, because at that point in time, the Beit HaMikdash was not completed. If it's not completed, you can't say that the Omer is the requirement for allowing it to be Mutar. Ela Divne B'Chameshar. What are you going to say that it was built on the 15th of Nisan? If it was built on the 15th, then Mechatzot HaYom will halan lishtarei. Let us make it Mutar from halfway through the 16th. You don't have to wait the whole day of the 16th. Why is Rabbi Yochanan making us wait the entire day of the 16th? If you wait, then wait just to Chatzot, that would be sufficient in this case, because I'm the Atzanana Rechukim Mutarim Mechatzot HaYom will halan. Right, that they are Mutar from halfway through the day in our words. If he shame beit in mitatzlim, but we know the Bezin never waits that long. Where it says, Lo, Nitzrucha, the Ivne Bechamesha, Samuch Lishkiyat HaLamah, was built on the 15th, right before sunset. So where it says, Inami Ivne Belelia, or it was built at night. So that's the answer of the Gemara. The answer of the Gemara is where we have a chashash for what Rabbi Yochanan was worried about, all these situations or when the future where it could be that the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt and people won't realize that the din is different now that the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. What's this case of the Beit HaMikdash being rebuilt? We're going to have such a worry where it's so tight that we won't have that cleared up. So Gemara gives two examples. One example is that it was built on the 15th, right before a sunset, right? Or the other possibility is that it was built at night. Wait a minute, we just had an argument here in Shavuot that those two are restricted. One may not build a Beit HaMikdash at night, and one may not build a Beit HaMikdash on Yom Tov. And the 15th in Nisan is a Yom Tov, that's Pesach. That's the first day of Pesach. So that's the case. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is suggesting that you can build it at night, and you can build it on Yom Tov. Yet, the Gemara in Shavuot is saying just the opposite. You cannot build it at night, you cannot build it at Yom Tov. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is saying yes. How do we reconcile between these two? So Tosfos over here, our Tosafot in Shavuot, and Rashi and Rosh Hashanah sort of give the same answer in order to reconcile between the Gemarot. And that is, well, when we're talking about just building the Beit HaMikdash at Yedei Adam, that's true, it cannot be built on Yom Tov, and it cannot be built at night. But that's only true when it's a man-made Mikdash. When it comes to a Mikdash that is God-made, that can show up on Yom Tov, and that can show up at night. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Beit HaMikdash, which is the third Beit HaMikdash, is going to be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and brought down min HaShamayim, over there, there's no restriction of don't build at night, don't build on Yom Tov, because it's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not talking about human beings who are violating the Torah in order to do this. It's Hashem. When Hashem does what He pleases, and therefore He can build, and He can bring it down on Yom Tov, He can bring it down at night. We're not limited by those restrictions. So that's the solution to reconcile between the Gemara in Shavuot and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and that is that the Gemara in Shavuot is talking about when man-made Mikdash is built, and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is talking about when it's a God-made Mikdash that is built. So now, that's the solution of Rashi and Tosafot. Now, truthfully, it turns out to be a machloket arishonim as to whether the third Beit HaMikdash will be built bidei Adam, by human beings, or bidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Hashem, that the third Beit HaMikdash will come down from heaven, and it will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That happens to be a machloket ha-rishonim as to what the situation will be. Lati levo bezrat Hashem b'mehir b'meinu, when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, whether it will be we who rebuild it, or be HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds it and sends it down to us. Now, the truth is that we're coming up on Tisha B'Av, and on Tisha B'Av we say the Tefillah of Nachem, and in Tefillah of Nachem we actually say, we tell the answer of what we think. And what's that answer? It says that, Ki ata Hashem be'esh hitzata, uve'esh ata atid livnota, ka'amur, and then we quote the Pasuk from Zechariah. So what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu saying? I burnt it up, or I caused the Beit HaMikdash to be destroyed by fire. I, in the future, will bring down the Beit HaMikdash in fire, in flames, meaning that Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, will return us the Beit HaMikdash. And that is the way that Nachem is written. Nachem is written to tell us that the Latid Lavo, the third Beit HaMikdash, will come Me'et HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Where did they get that from? Well, they got that from our sugyot over here. Either they hold like Rashi and Tosafot that you can reconcile between the sugyot and the reconciliations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually one who will build the Beit HaShlishi. You could also not necessarily reconcile between the Gemarot, but just say that there's a machloket sugyot between the two Gemarot. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says it's permissible to build the Mikdash on Yom Tov and to build it at night, and that sugya is talking about that the third Beit HaMikdash will be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the sugya in Shavuot, which says no building at night, no building on Yom Tov, is talking about that the third Beit HaMikdash believes that the third Beit HaMikdash will be built Ayidei Adam, by human beings, and since it will be built by human beings, it's subject to those restrictions. So you could suggest that that's machloket sugyot, and based on that machloket sugyot, we paskin in Achim, like the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, who says that the third Beit HaMikdash will come down from the heavens from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very interesting. How do I know that when we say Nachem that Be'esh, that Hashem destroyed Be'esh Ratzotah and Ubatid Lavo, He's going to bring it down Be'esh? How do I know that means that Hashem will actually build it? Not meaning that figuratively the spirituality or the Shekhinah that's present in the Mikdash will come from Hashem, but the building itself will be rebuilt. There's actually a Rashi in Sanhedrin, an interesting Rashi on Daf Ayin in Sanhedrin, and in that Rashi says, but davar shenitka kubo nitkanu midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu bizemo shu makebo hu mirape neis betoch neis kemo vayatzeit eish bitzion from Echa uchtiv in Zechariah vani eyeh lanu Hashem chomat eish saviv. But let me give you an example of a midah keneged midah, that Hashem provides the refuah to the makah. Hashem always provides the solution to the makah, to the damage that is done. And what is the example that Rashi gives? Rashi gives the example of the fact that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in fire, and then he brings down the pasuk in Zechariah, which says that it will be rebuilt in fire, saying that Hashem is the one who destroyed the Mikdash in fire, and Hashem will be the one who rebuilds it in fire. He's the one who will bring it down. Latid Lavo, the third Beit HaMikdash, will be built in the by the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and brought down from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what we say on Nachem on Tisha B'Av. So that's just a small digression, but just an interesting point, since Tisha B'Av is upcoming, it's in Yonah D'Yoma, about the Nachem that we say, and how about, or whether, the third Beit HaMikdash will be built a Yidei Adam, which is the opinion of some Rishonim, or whether it will be built to be Dei Shamayim, which is the opinion of many of the other Rishonim, like Rashi here and Tosafot, who are reconciling between the Gemaras and other Rishonim as well. And we, it seems, on Tisha B'Av, Paskin, like those Rishonim, like Rashi, Tosafot, the other Rishonim, that say that it will be built by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why we say Nachem that it was destroyed by fire and it will be returned by Kodesh Baruch Hu in the flames, in the fire, and that should happen. The Bimheira Biyamenu, we should see that Nechama, that Kodesh Baruch Hu brings us that third Beit Mikdash. Now, the Gemara says, Ubishir, that you do it by song, in consecrating the Azeroth, but also the Yerushalayim, which is what we're discussing over here, you do it through song. Tanabanan, what is the shir that you use? Shir shel Todah. You do the shir of the Todah. What's the shir of the Todah? That's Mizmor the Todah. Mizmor Kuf in Tehillim that we say each day in Pesukah Zimra. That's the shir that you say. Bekidorot u'minevalim u'tzaltzalim. Use lyres, harps, and cymbals, those instruments alongside of it. I'll call Pina Upina. I'll call Evan Gedola Shibir Yerushalayim. On every corner and every large stone in Yerushalayim, because actually that's what is described as to what happened in the story of Nehemiah, that they have the shir, they have the nevel, the kinorot, and the mitzaltayim. All of those items are present when they consecrate the walls of Yerushalayim. So the shir is the mizmor de todah. Now, in addition to that, we also say, besides the shir of Mizmor LeTodah, we also say Arim Hashem Ki Dilitani. We also add in the additional Tehillim from Tehillim Lamed, which is also, so it's some people say, before Pesukah Zimra, it's a Mizmor Shir Chanukah Ta'Bayit. So since that is relevant, right, which is obviously relevant to what we're doing over here and makes a lot of sense, therefore we also say that Mizmor of Tehillim, that's part of the Shir. You also say, in addition to that, the Shir Shel Pigayim. Beishomim Shoshel Nigayim. That you add also the additional tilim of the pega, of bad or evil things that can happen, or the shear of Nigayim. Of Nigayim meaning leprosy that happens. What is that shear? What's the shear? That's Mando Omar Dinigayim. The one who says that it's the shear of Nigayim is Dichtiv and Nega Lo Yikrov Bo'alecha. That's talking about your Shei B'Sitro Yon. And it's talking about the promise that Nega Lo Yikrov Bo'alecha, there will be no Nega in your household. So that's why it's called the shear of Nigayim. On the other hand, the one who says Mandar Begayim, it's the shear of the Begayim, is Dichtiv Yipo Mitzidcha Elef Uvrva Minecha, that the Yosheb Zetayon talks about how Kodesh Baruch Hu protects those that believe in him and takes away all evil or bad that is going to befall him. So Yipo Mitzidcha Elef Uvrva Minecha, that Hashem wipes away those on the right, those on the left, and protects the individual. Vomer Yosheb Beseter Yom Betzel Shekai Yitlonan. And that you say Yosheb Seter Ol Yon until Kiata Hashem Machsi, to the point that we say that Hashem is my shadow, my protection, my shelter. Why are they saying this? Why are they saying that part of the Yosheb Seter Ol Yon? Because at the time that they rebuilt, this is talking about the time of Nehemiah, also when they were building the Mikdash, there were many that were in disbelief. They thought that the Jews would not be able to rebuild it. They actually caused problems for the Jews that were rebuilding it. And therefore, we're looking for protection from Hashem to protect us against our enemies when we come to rebuild, when we're rebuilding the Mikdash. In addition, we know that that Mizmor was used by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's one of the 10 Mizmorim said by Moshe, by the Tefillah, the Moshe, 10 Mizmorim at Tehillim, because it says, Vayivarech utam Moshe, what bracha did he give them? He ratzon shetishre shechina b'masa yedechem, v'hinu am Hashem elokeinu aleinu, u'masa yedenu kon. So therefore they say this additional Tehillim of Yosheb Seter Elyon, both for its protective qualities as well as for the idea that it's a bracha on the Maaseh Yadayim of the humans, that the Shechina should be Shoreh in their Maaseh Yadav. Now the Gemara continues with additional items that they said, although the Gra wipes out this Girsa and does not add these items in. We'll read it just based on what the Gemara has here, but it doesn't mean necessarily that they sang it based on the Gra. So now, v'chozer v'omer. In addition to that, you say mizmor le David b'vachol b'pnei Avshalom b'no. Again, another mizmor that talks about protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the individual. And again, we're saying this because of the mitlotzitzim b'sarei Yehuda, those that made fun of the princes of Yehuda, u'benyamin k'shiu b'nei Yisrael b'nei Agula bonim et mechuma, when they were building the walls of Yerushalayim, as it says in the pasuk in Nehemiah. Ma ayudim ha'umnalim osim. The people are looking at these downtrodden poor Jews. What are they doing here in Yerushalayim? Hechiu et avanim aramot ha'afar. Are they really going to bring back to life these lifeless and destroyed stones? Behemes shufot, and already burnt down. Vomer. And it says, Gam im yale shu'al peretz chomat avnehem. If they are successful, we will then later break or make breaches in the walls of Yerushalayim. So therefore, we ask for those psukim in order to protect us. Or we say those psukim in order to protect the individuals who are building the Beit HaMikdash from those that don't want to see it completed. So that's what the shear that's involved over here that we say. So that's interesting. There's a small point that's made over here. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar Luhu Lahani Krai Ugan Gani. That he used to say these psukim and then go to sleep. He used to say these psukim to protect himself from the bad spirits at night or bad things that could befall him at night. And therefore he used to say the Mizmor Tehillim of Yoshe B'Seit Elyon, and also that Mizmor sounds like the David B'Vachol Mipnei Avshalom possibly as well. Depends on the girsa here and when the way the Gra changes the girsa. But at least Yoshe B'Seit Elyon, he definitely said. So that, why did he say it at night? How could he say this at night before he goes to bed? As protection. Not that you use Torah in order to provide yourself protection or a shield. So how could you be, if you can't use it for medicinal purposes, you also can't use it for protection against the Shadim or anything bad. So Gemara says, no, that's different. Lahagain shiny. When it comes to protection, that's okay to use the Divrei Torah. You can't use Divrei Torah for a specific cure, or to use it in a way that makes it mundane or denigrates the Torah. On the other hand, to protect oneself, that is permissible in terms of using the Torah. And therefore, you can say the Mizmor of Yoshe B'Seir Tehillim as a protection before you go to sleep. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Ela ki amar asur. So, when does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say it's asur to use the Divrei Torah? Dika makeh. That he already has a wound. So the Gemara says, if he has a wound, then asur, it's only asur to do it, then you're not permitted to do it, but too low, no more. But it's not. We have a Mishnah. Someone who whispers Divrei Torah or says, Ki ani Hashem rofecha al on a wound, ain't no chel kolam abba. He has no part in chel kolam abba. It's not simply any sur. We have very strong language against doing such behavior. Gemara says, Hayit Marla, we already explained this, or we redefined that statement of Rabbi Shub ben Levi, but Amar Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Kekshanu. Talking about a case where he spits, V'Shem Maskirim, Shem Shemala, Rikika, because that's inappropriate or denigrating to mention the Shem Shemayim when it comes to spitting. So the case that we're talking about over here is a case where he spits, and then he says, Ki'ani Hashem Rofecha Anamakeh, that's completely inappropriate, and someone who does that will not be even be Zochel Lechelik Lolam Abba. On the other hand, when it comes to simply using the words of Divrei Torah again to protect oneself, that is okay, or that is permissible, and therefore you would say Yoshe B'Seir Tehillim in order to provide that protection. So now, Gemara says, when it comes to the Shtei Todot, the Beit Din Mehalchin u'Shtei Todot Acharim, that the Shtei Todot, but probably the word Acharim is not found in the Mishnah, but the Beit Din goes along with the Shtei Todot. The Memra, the Beit Din Kamei Todot Azle. It sounds like from what you're suggesting is that the Beit Din actually goes in front of the Todot. They walk before the Todot. Ma'akdiv, well, let's go investigate this. Let's look in the Chemia. And the case in Nechemia doesn't sound that way. In Nechemia it says, after the Todot go, it says that I put the Todot, Vayalech Achrehem Hoshaya V'chatzi Sarei Yehuda. So they only go, the Hoshaya, these important people in the Sarei Yehuda, only go after the Todot. Because Nechemia, as we read before, already talked about the Shtei Todot Gedolot that he's taking along the walls of Yerushalayim. Then only after that does it say that the Beit Din follows them. So how come over here we're suggesting the Beit Din is in front of the to Todot, and over here, or the Pasuk in Nechemia suggested the other way around, that they're actually after the Todot, or they're walking after the Todot. So the Gemara says, Hachikam. And the Shtei Todot Mahachot, and the two Todot are going along the way, Ubeit Din Achareihem. The Beit Din is after those two Todot. So that's what it means. Beit Din Mahalchin, when the Beit Din is going, how do they go, or how do they walk? Shtei Todot Mahalchot, first the two Todot go, Ubeit Din Achareihem, the Beit Din goes after them. So that's how to read the Mishnah. So Ketzad Mahalchot. How do they walk? Meaning when they take these two todot, these two chalot of the todah, how are they taken around the wall? Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Barebi argued about this. Hadamar zu keneged zu. They are adjacent to each other, side by side. They are walked around the walls of Yerushalayim side by side. Hadamar zu achar zu. One of them says, no, they are done sequentially, one after the other, walking around the walls of Yerushalayim. So Gemara says, Mando Amar Zu Keneged Zu, the one who says that they are adjacent to each other, one on the right, one on the left, and they walk around, Ham Pnimit Had Mekarva L'Chuma. The one that is considered the Pnimit, that our Mishnah mentions that the Pnimit is eating, the Chitzanah is not, the Pnimit is easy to figure out one, it's the one closest to the wall. Tosfos over here points out that Rashi earlier mentioned that when we talk about going around the walls of the city, Rashi believed, or Rashi seemed to indicate, that Amida Shtetot Glot Eitzel HaChoma BiBachutz, that in time in Nehemiah, when they did the Tudodot, they did it outside the walls. If that's the case, according to Rashi, the Pnimit would be the one that is Eden, is on the left side, the one closest to the wall. The problem is that both Todot, both Chalot Todot, are outside the walls of Yerushalayim. They're both outside the walls of Yerushalayim, then they're Pasul, and you can't eat in a pasul b'yotzei. So how could it be that Rashi is indicating from before that you're walking outside the walls of Yerushalayim? So Tosafot says he thinks that Rashi's explanation is wrong, and when they're walking inside the walls of Yerushalayim. And even though they're walking inside the walls of Yerushalayim, according to Rashi, it's easy to understand what they were mekadesh of Yerushalayim, because you're demarcating it by where you walk. According to Tosafot, that you're walking inside the confines of the wall, it's harder to see or to indicate what you are being Kadesh, but Tosafot says, nevertheless, even though it's done that way, there's whatever they consider that they want to be Mekadesh, and the expense they want to be Mekadesh, will be Nitkadeshet, even though they're walking inside the wall of Yerushalayim. But according to Tosafot, then the Pnimi is really the one closer to the wall of Yerushalayim, and the Chitzona will be the one closer, more in the city, but still further away from the wall. Mandamar zu achar zu, the one who says they walk one subsequent to the other, then apnimit, which one's the inner one then? If they're both in the same line, then which one's the inner one? Ach de mekarva the Beit Din, the one that's closest to Beit Din. So Beit Din's after them, then the second one is the one that's closest to the Beit Din, and that's the one that is eaten. So the Gemara says, apnimit ne'achalet v'chitzonon nisrefet, the inner one, the one, again, either closer to the Chumah or the one closer to the Beit Din, is Eden, v'chitzonah, and the outer one, which again means either the one further away from the wall, or the one that means further away from Beit Din, nisrefet, is burnt up. Bishlam, the man, the one who says that they are one after the other, subsequent to each other, amato l'ochi, that makes sense, that apnimit ne'achalet, mishum da'atya chitzonah kama v'kachalo, because then the first todah, or the first lechem ha'todah goes by, makes the walls kadosh. Then the second one is now within the confines of the walls of Yerushalayim, and then it should be able to be consumed. So that makes sense that the Chitzonah, the first one who is blazing the path, right, is the one that you cannot eat, because that's the one establishing the Kedusha. But once the Kedusha is established, the second Chalah is the one that you could eat. The one who says that they were actually adjacent to each other, they together make the Kedusha of the walls of Yerushalayim. They do it simultaneously because they're both involved in creating the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Then how could you eat one or leave the other one over? It doesn't make sense. They both should have the same status. I said, Lutamech, according to your logic, is your logic really so foolproof? The mandamar zuacharzu, the one who says they are subsequent to each other, chada mimikacha. One of the chalot is not what makes it kadosh. It says anything that doesn't use this whole process doesn't get a kedusha of Yerushalayim. Well, in the process, it requires two chalot, right? The two chalot of the todah. So if you only have one, that's not enough. If you need both, then it doesn't matter if they're next to each other or subsequent to each other. Since you require both, why is there a difference between the pnimit and the chitzonah? So the Gemara says, the man d'amar, this is actually the Gemara coming up afterwards, achat mikol elu, that you don't require all of these items to be mekadesh, but one of these items. And what is that item that we're going to suggest? You're going to suggest it's these, you're going to use the karban, the chalot of the karban todah. Nevertheless, in that case, they are chada mitzvahi. Even if you want to say that they are, you only need one of the items, well, the item of the todot, chalot todot, consider one grouping or one item. If they're one item, then both todot are what are needed to make it kadosh. And if that's the case, then there shouldn't be any difference between the pnimit and the chitzonah. They're both at the same simultaneously happening. Whatever happens to them is happening simultaneously. They should be able to maintain a certain level of kedusha or lose that level of kedusha both together, not independently of each other. That the inner one is kadosh and can be eaten, the outer one is not. So Gemara says, Elam Rabbi Yochanan, al pi navi nechelet, val pi navi nisrefet. Eno chanami. The fact that the inner one's eaten and the outer one's not eaten, that's a din from the Navi, that's a din in the Misorah, that's it, whether it's Aloha Lemoshe Misinai, or whether it's told to us by Chagai Zechariah Malachi, who were there, and that based on their guidance, the Mikdash was built and put back into service. Therefore, it does not have any logical explanation. It's done by the Navi. The Navi tells us the Pnimit and the Chitzona are eaten, the Pnimit is eaten, the Chitzona is not. Nothing to do with how they're Mekadesh Mishalayim, simply a limud from the Navi. Okay, we're going to stop over here.